In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I have a friend with a 7-year-old little boy. He's very, very bright and inquisitive, and he is absolutely fascinated by a crucifix that they have hanging in their front hallway. His questions have been getting more and more intricate all the time. First, he wanted to know who it was. His mother answered him. Then he wanted to know why the man was so sad, and why they had him in their house, and why he wasn't in everyone else's house, and why was he on that cross? His mom had done her very best, the very best she could, to answer him and give him the best picture she could about Jesus Christ and why he's important and what he means to all of us. And she thought she had done a really pretty good job of it. But every now and then, another question would pop up. One day they were driving somewhere and happened to park in front of a church that had a very large crucifix right in the front of the church. Her little boy asked another question, and she had just flat run out of answers. She turned the car off, and she turned around to the back seat, and she said, "Colin, I just don't have any more answers. I guess that we're going to have to keep thinking about Jesus and try to figure it out together." Whereupon Colin, with great excitement in his eyes, put his hands on his mother's face, looked at her intently, and said, like he had solved a great riddle, "Mom, maybe they just don't know he's still alive." Sometimes kids just do that, don't they? They take your breath away with their wisdom. What if they just don't know that he is still alive? Indeed. Today we're going to baptize a whole bunch of folks. One is Penny, who's an adult, and a new friend that we are thrilled to have at Grace. And all of the rest are children. Some hers. I don't know if they are all as brilliant as Colin, but I bet they are all pretty smart and pretty sharp. They are all treasures that we are about to welcome into the church. And as Christians, we're going to promise to support them in their faith. As a side note, I just want to make sure everybody knows that we are not necessarily accepting them into this particular parish. If we were doing that, the ceremony would be quite a bit different. Some of these are little folk we have hardly ever seen. But we do know where they come from. And we do know that there are adults that are more than willing to shepherd them in their life of Christ's own. We are simply privileged to be the parish that will bring them officially into the light of Christ. We're going to promise to keep trying to answer their questions as long as we can. We're going to keep praying for them and tuck them into a special place in our hearts where we can cherish them as the people we have helped to baptize. It's a particular responsibility that is a great honor for Christians. But I guess that we do have to acknowledge that all people aren't as smart as children. Honestly, some of us adults struggle to have the right answers. And that really isn't particularly shocking because some of the problems that we face are terribly complex and some downright tricky. For example, the parable that Jesus told in our gospel today. It contains some ideas that are very hard to grasp. Here's the basic plot, in case you weren't listening. A wealthy guy gives three slaves a lot of money and tells them to be good stewards of the money. He gave one of them five talents. He gave another slave two talents, and a third guy, poor guy, he gave one talent. And then he left on vacation. Now, there are a few important things to know. First, a talent, in case you didn't know it, is approximately worth $1.25 million. One talent. So the first guy got about $6.25 million. The second guy got about $2.5 million. And the third guy got $1.25 million. That's just a little bit different from thinking that he gave them a few coins, isn't it? Can you imagine how long it took the first guy to invest the money so that he doubled it? Think about that. Now, I'm no financial genius, but I understand that financial advisors have some tools that they use to estimate such things. There is a thing called the rule of 72. If you have $5 and you want to double it by investing and you decide that you can expect to get maybe 5% interest, I know that's a lot these days. If you think you can get 5% interest on your $5, it will take you about 14 and a half years. 14 and a half years. Now, how long was this wealthy man gone on vacation? How much risk did the first two slaves take to double their investments? Pardon me. If he'd come back in 1 year, they might have made a little bit of money for their boss, but not anything as dramatic as turning five talents into 10. They made millions of dollars for him, but they could have lost their shirts. They took major risks. Major risks. So having heard about the two slaves who engaged in really risky business, the fellow who got one talent and immediately buried it in his backyard sounds a little more reasonable. But the boss, when he got home, didn't like his strategy at all. His risk aversion did not get him rewarded. Jesus punished him in the way that Jesus has been describing a lot to us lately. He threw him into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It sounds horrible. Just for being cautious with the boss's money. So knowing that, here's the question for us today. How are we supposed to manage the riches that God has given us? What, for example, are we supposed to do with these six wonderful people who have come to us to be baptized? Are we supposed to send them home with a letter to encourage their local pastor to teach them some values? Perhaps we should glue Penny and her children to the pew and take great pride in them as our newest members. Surely we could get them connected to all of our activities and then congratulate ourselves on our growth. Is there some point at which you think we can say, hey, we have done a great job with Grace Church? So we can each go about our business and not have to worry too much about putting a lot of energy into investing anymore. Oh, sure, we might have to volunteer to do a few things every now and then, but basically, our work is done. And we can sit here every Sunday and feel a great deal of satisfaction. Well, I think we are incredibly fortunate that new people do on occasion come to us. It is a fabulous day today. But I suspect that God wants us to do a whole lot more. Let's not just do business as usual. What if we think deeply about the words of that little boy, Colin, that I talked about earlier? What if we stop being satisfied with the artwork on the front of our church? What if we stop thinking that we can sit back and kind of coast along? What if we stop thinking we have to put too much effort into it? What if we know in our hearts that Jesus is really still alive today? And what if we start acting in ways that keep little girls and boys from being confused? If we were to do that, what more do you think Jesus would want us to do? Amen.